Down to Dunk Podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Down to Dunk Podcast. It is January 17th. We appreciate you listening today. I want to remind you, as we do every week, to check us out on Twitter at DPD Podcast. Look for us in iTunes, search Down to Dunk. You can rate us and review us in iTunes. You can also find our pod and other little tidbits on our website at downtodunk.com. It's Andrew, Taylor, and Jay here today. Guys, how are you feeling?
I don't feel very good.
Andrew's a little sick. My voice is a little froggy. Taylor only went to bed 30 minutes ago.
Close to 30 minutes ago. 30 minutes plus, like, I don't know. I couldn't sleep that long. Anyway, let's not talk about me not sleeping because it's making me tired.
We've got some true or false questions for you today and some random Twitter questions. We're doing a little bit of a mid-season awards kind of thing. And so we're going to look at the different categories and we're going to talk about who we think is the best coach and executive and defensive player of the year, sixth man of the year and MVP. And so we will get it rolling. Andrew's going to lead us today. So Andrew, you ready?
Yes. First question is from D_Tally. Who do you think the mystery big man is from the Kevin Kuzminski podcast? And D_Tally says that he thinks it's Joakim Noah. What do you guys think?
So we talked about this, didn't we? Like, after you interviewed that dude, we had this text conversation and all this stuff. And we came up with, like, two or three guys that he said, right, Jay? We said Joakim Noah.
Yeah.
Kevin Love.
Yeah.
And then I think maybe we threw a Tyson Chandler in there at some point. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Here's the deal with that trade. The more I put my brain around it, the less I feel like it will ever happen.
Yeah.
My number one guess was Kevin Love. The Thunder are going to have to give up pieces that are pretty significant for kind of an uncertainty of Kevin Love. I would assume Kevin Love would stay with the Thunder, but that's not a guarantee. Joakim Noah, I feel like that's one of the few pieces the Bulls won't mess with. And the other thing you have to look at, and we were talking to Steve McPherson about this, and it's a great point to remember, is it's not ever, you know, there's two parts of this team. And so Minnesota, if it's Love, or the Bulls, if it's Joakim Noah, they're not just going to take our players that we're tired of for their all-stars. And so there's two parts of that trade. And so my thought was Kevin Love at first, just because Minnesota's trying to get something as he would be leaving. I just don't know. He said 40% is the likelihood, and that would be a generous number to me. But I don't have any inside information on that, obviously. It's just a kind of a feeling thing.
Yeah, I think it would – I mean, to get Kevin Love, I mean, you can put – trade packages together like Perk, Reggie Jackson, Perry Jones, and Andre Robertson, but they're not going to take that for Kevin Love. You're going to have to give up Serge Ibaka to get Kevin Love. So it would be Serge Ibaka paired with Robertson, Jones, or Thabo to make the money match. And I would guess that they would want PJ3 or Robertson and Serge Ibaka. And then probably a first-round pick, too. You probably have to give them maybe even this year, 2014, first-round pick.
Which I'm – you know, I probably am in the minority. Well, I'm maybe more like the majority, but I'm okay with losing draft picks to pick up big moves like that. Like, that doesn't bother me. I wouldn't mind losing a second-round pick. Like, I feel like Gary Neal would be worth a Hasheen Thabeet in second-round pick in my mind.
Mm-hmm. You know,
we've got so many second-round picks stocked across the, you know, entire world. And for me, like, with – like, obviously for a first-round, it's a no-brainer for Kevin Love as part of the trade. But for me, like, especially last night watching that Houston game with Serge Ibaka, like, I would really struggle trading Serge Ibaka for Kevin Love. And not as just an overall player. You know, obviously Kevin Love is – the best rebounding power forward, you know, the best scoring power forward. But Surge is such a game changer at the rim. Mm-hmm. It's unreal. He had 5 blocks last night. And I wish you could take into account how many shots that he alters at the rim or how many guys have to think twice. I mean, him and Perk on Dwight Howard is an incredible matchup. And I don't know. I think that's valuable for a team like the Thunder more than a stretch four. I know right now we're all thinking about how much we could use his shooting and his offensive, you know, game and all those things. But when Russ comes back, it's not as if they were struggling offensively. They're still in the top 5 in offensive rating. But the thing that would change with Kevin Love addition is they would actually become worse defenders, in my opinion. So I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, you'd have to – if you do that, you'd have to know for sure, like, okay, Steven Adams is going to be our rim protector. You know, like, he's the anchor on the defense. We can count on him because that's why Surge is so important to us, because Perk is a good one-on-one defender when you have a guy like Dwight Howard, you know. But if someone's flying in for a layup, Perk isn't going to stop that.
Like, absolutely.
Perk is not going to stop your guards that are cutting in or anything like that. And so, yeah, you get Kevin Love, you trade away your rim defense, essentially your only rim defense, and you have to trust, like, okay, Steven Adams is going to be that guy on defense for us.
I think it would be an incredible deal for the Thunder to get Kevin Love. I mean, Serge Ibaka is great, and he does a lot of he's an elite shot blocker. And he's an elite mid-range jump shooter. I mean, he's at the top for both of those. But Kevin Love does so many other things so well. Just his passing would change this offense so much. And his ability to spread the floor. I mean, they would undoubtedly have the number one offense in the NBA if they had Kevin Love on their team. And they would be absolutely unstoppable. With him. And I think that he's a good enough defender that they wouldn't drop off too much. And going forward, I think that it is going to be Steven Adams that's going to be anchoring the defense. And I think that I don't know. I think it's a great fit. I just don't know that the Timberwolves are ready to jump ship on Kevin Love.
I think this trade, fast forward a year, is more likely to happen.
Yeah.
With the Perkins expiring contract, plus you've got another development that you've seen what Jeremy Lamb and, you know, maybe even you could at that point, if Reggie hasn't re-signed a contract, you know, like, and I know they probably don't want another point guard, but I don't think it'd be bad for Rubio and Reggie to play together. But you could at least look at some other pieces that have developed a little more, plus an expiring contract, plus a draft pick. And I feel like you can make that possibly work. For the Timberwolves.
Yeah, and if the Timberwolves get to the point where everybody in the league knows they have to trade him, you don't get as much back.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Presti did with Harden. Like, nobody knew he was going to trade James Harden. And if everybody knew that he had to trade James Harden, you know,
we got a lot less.
We don't know what, you know, Daryl Morey would have tried to give.
Well, I mean, look at Ostick, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's sitting buried on the bench of the Rockets because everybody knows that they need to get rid of him, so they're not going to give him something really valuable for him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, it's funny that the Ryan Anderson for Ostick trade in the offseason, like, that sounded like a good trade. And obviously Ryan Anderson's hurt, but if he was healthy, it would be a completely lopsided trade.
Yeah, there's no way you do that.
What's crazy about that is, like, I know Ryan Anderson's that stretch, but Lord, how many more 3-pointers do they need? Like, that's all they do have.
Yeah. On Houston?
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's all they have. Yeah. Like, Ryan Anderson's just a little bit bigger Chandler Parsons.
He's very good, though. I think
he is really good. And I don't disagree with that, but it just makes their offense even more one dimensional if they had made that trade. But. Mm. Anyway,
all right.
What's the next question?
Next question. This is from the OG Jamie Don Wheat, and he asked the question: Serge Ibaka for Serge Ibaka and Tyus Jones for Kevin Love, and we kind of discussed that already. Mm-hmm. I think.
I mean, I would take it. Like, I just want to clarify. I would take it. I would just struggle more, I think, taking it than it's not as big of a no-brainer for me as you, as it probably is for you, Andrew, or for majority of people. Like, I get it, and I would do it. But in the end, I love Serge Ibaka. He's so limited offensively on creating his own is where the difference in it is. He's not a good passer. Man, but defensively, he's taken even another step this year. And last, especially after last night's game, I think he's like 8 of 11 for 17 points and 15 rebounds and was finishing at the rim well. And I don't know. I love his game. And he's more of, well, I can't say that. He's a rarity at his position right now as much as Kevin Love is as well. You know, so. Yeah,
I agree. Next question is from EventCat10. Gary Neal has been DNPCD, which is the coaches sat him on the bench for the past five games, and the Bucks are trying to get rid of him. The Thunder simply have to get him, right? And he threw out a Tabo for Gary Neal or a Hashim Thabeet for Gary Neal.
I mean, you don't have to convince me.
Yeah, me neither. I'm in. Let's do it.
I think it would be outstanding. My worry is that he wouldn't play because he's not a great defender and he can't really dribble or pass. I mean, he's an extremely one-dimensional player. Mm-hmm. And I just worry that it would be like a Nate Robinson situation.
Or Ronnie Brewer.
Exactly. Like, he's a guy you can bring off the bench and he can be an energy guy. He can come in and just give you 5 points in 2 minutes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Brooks has been terrible at using people like that.
Yes.
Like, he feels like if I'm going to play him, I need to play him tomorrow. I need to play him the next game. I need to play him the next game. I don't know why he feels like that, but that's how it seems. Like, he has to figure out a player can fit in the rotation consistently or he won't play them any minutes at all.
Yeah. It's – I would hope – I mean, if they do trade for him, you think that they would use him. But I have a hard time. I would have a hard time with him playing with Derek Fisher playing over him, and I think at this point that Fisher would just because Brooks has some strange fascination with him.
Absolutely, I love the trade. I think, especially Hashim Thabeet, second round pick. See you later, like gone. I'll take Gary Neal right now.
Yeah,
and it is. You're right. Like Popovich will have. There'll be when he was playing. There'd be games where Neal wouldn't play. You know, he was a do not play coach's decision. Well, then there'd be games where he put 20 minutes on the floor or 30 minutes. You know, probably not 30 minutes, but he put multiple games where he had something like that because hey, I need a little offensive scoring so they'd score. You know, whatever. And I don't see Brooks being able to do stuff like that. That's just not his way. But you're right. I don't think he'd start over or play over Fisher. And so, really, maybe we don't want this because for the safety and well-being majority of Thunder fans that we know.
Yes.
Next question is from AM Rose 23. When is Adams going to get this elusive start?
Next year.
Next year.
Yeah.
Until January of next year.
It may not even be next year if Perk stays.
That's true. Perk's contract will be a little easier to trade next year, so let's hope that happens. But, yes, you're right. As long as Perk's here, I don't think.
I mean, hey, but let me say this. Let me just say this. Perkins has not been the issue for me recently. Obviously, Brooks, I would prefer him play less. I thought Perkins brought great energy last night, really set the tone in a lot of ways for this comeback, both on the court and off the court. Tabo Sefolosha, for me right now, is the most useless player on our team. I don't understand his offense. Like, his offensive game is so bad.
It's awful.
Mm-hmm. And for a wing player to be that bad is way less acceptable to me than a low post guy like Perkins, you know, like I can't handle Tabo Sefolosha right now.
And his defense isn't even that great either.
And I'd rather bring Lamb in just, or Perry Jones, like those guys
at least
bring some energy and movement to the offense. Tabo is like a vortex when that ball goes to him too. It's going up. He pump fakes way too much on the perimeter. you can tell his confidence is just nowhere on his three-point shot. And then he had one of the worst plays of the game last night. So they miss a shot. Tabo gets the steal on the – I don't know if you've watched the game yet, Andrew, but he gets a steal on this inbound pass and takes a 12 to 15-foot, not even contested, wide-open jump shot by himself and misses it. It was the worst shot the Thunder have taken that I can remember.
You're right. He has no confidence, and in transition, he's always been really bad. In my opinion, he's one of the worst wing players that has athleticism, that has length, that should be able to finish. His decision making and also his ability to finish on the fast break is pretty bad. I want to see more minutes for Jeremy Lamb. I'm kind of tired of watching Thomas Evolution. I watched the first half last night and went to bed. And I thought the Thunder were going to lose, but I'm with you. I would like to see Tabo gone.
Me too. It's confusing to me that it never looks like Tabo is in the flow of the offense ever. And how long has he been on this team? It's like we're passing the ball, and then Tabo gets the ball, and then he goes behind his back. You're like, what are you doing right now? And like tries to do these handle things, get to the rim, throws it out to someone, and it just kind of messes up everything that the other guys had started to do. Mm-hmm. And it's weird. And you're right, too. You give him the ball in the corner, and he'll pump fake, and he'll try to go by you or something, or he'll go out of bounds, or he'll lose a ball, or he'll just miss or he'll airball a shot 4 feet over the rim, like last night. And it doesn't make sense to me why that is happening at this point of his career with the Thunder.
It really is like he's trying to prove, because it is a contract year, he's trying to prove to somebody out there that he's more dimensional, you know, than the one-dimensional defensive player with a decent three-point shot. But, I mean, he has regressed worse than any player I've seen at the Thunder, on the Thunder franchise. And it's one of those things where, like, if he just actually engaged defensively and limited his game offensively, he would get more money this offseason than he – because he's not going to get anything. Who would want to pay him more than $3 million a year?
His value is being devastated plummeting right now. Yes.
Yes. And it's not because of a lack of minutes, man, because Brooks is still playing him. But I'd rather see Andre Roberson. I really would at this point, mm-hmm. because Roberson is a ball hawk defender, and he's crazy energy, and he just gets the ball and passes it.
Yeah.
He's looking for the next move. Anyway, so –
I just wish Tabo would shoot, like just shoot the ball when you get it. I mean, Jeremy Lamb is doing that, and he's missed a lot of shots lately. But at least he's shooting the ball in the flow of the offense.
Exactly.
So I don't have a problem with Jeremy Lamb missing all these shots, because I think eventually he's gonna have a game where he scores 25, 30 points because he's hitting all those shots.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he's come through in good times too. You know, like I remember. I guess it was I can't remember what game it was. Maybe it was the last home game they played, and he just was incredible, hitting shots, shooting with confidence, and you know it's going to happen on the road. That's probably the last thing that comes around for a guy like that, for a second year player, really a rookie, if we're honest with Jeremy Lamb. Consistency on the road is one of the last things. But here's the deal: nobody's been consistent on the road. Kevin Durant hasn't shot the ball extremely well on the road either. So it's not like it's just Jeremy Lamb dragging the team down. So.
Right.
Okay, those are all our questions that we have. We're going to move into our mid-season awards.
Whoop, whoop.
Let's start with the most valuable player halfway through the season.
I have KD as the most valuable player. He's right now, he has a 29.7 PER. This isn't after last night, so I don't know. These things have changed a little bit, I'm sure, after last night's game. According to Basketball Reference, he has a plus 24 net rating. And so what that is the difference between the offensive rating and the defensive rating. And he's scoring 29.8 points per game, averaging career high in rebounds, assists, and steals, and is leading this team to some big wins like last night. That was, KD, I don't know what he's averaging with Russ gone since this last time, but he's scoring over 30 every single game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the third quarter.
He's at 29.97 or 98 right now.
After last night.
For the whole season. They say if he scores 32 or more tonight, then he'll go over 30 as the points per game per season. But over this last stretch, he's averaging close to 35, I think.
Yeah. It's got to be.
And for me, he's my MVP right now as well. And that's just also because the Heat aren't doing a lot. And LeBron's being LeBron. Like, you could give it to him every year if you wanted to. But somebody that's being transcendent on their team, that's really, for the Thunder, holding their heads above water at this point, and doing it pretty much by himself. And it's good to have games like he did last night where they're on national television and he just goes beast mode, you know, like that three hit at the end of the third quarter. That was just, I mean, it changed the game. They're down 83-80 and he hits that three to tie it at 83. And then fourth quarter, it's game over at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's KD as well. I think today it's KD, and you know, you don't know what the Heat are going to do. They could, you know, put on another 20 game win streak and then LeBron, you know, gets a stranglehold on the MVP race again. But today it's KD just for all the reasons you guys said.
But I will also say this. I think the Thunder could put together – I think when Russ comes back, they could put together a 15-20 game winning streak as well. And I think they're going to try because they're going to be so zeroed in to be successful to get back up in that top 1-2 seed, which they're not even out of yet. But I also see it. I don't think this is a race. Like, I think it's going to go down to the end and Durant is in the lead, you know. He needs a pillow and a cover.
I think so. I think there was a really good article written by Greg Doyle yesterday. Did you guys read that?
I did not.
It was really – basically what he was talking about was LeBron is starting to make comments based on the fact that he's getting scared that the MVP momentum is toward KD at this point. And so – and I'm starting to notice that too. Like, a lot of writers, a lot of these respectable people are starting to say, like, well, right now KD's the MVP. He's really, you know, been shining, all this stuff. And so this momentum is starting to swing towards KD, and I think that's going to start picking up with all the fans too. You know, look at this respectable writer. He's saying KD's the MVP. Oh, okay. He must be the MVP. Let's do that. And it's gonna pick up the same way that Marc Gasol for Defensive Player of the Year picked up last year.
And the other thing is with LeBron, I loved it because he said, you know, I'm envious of how many shots Durant gets, and, you know, watch me on Wednesday, you'll get to see, kind of tongue in cheek, but also, you know, sometimes when you say those things, there's some truth in what he's saying. And so watch me on Wednesday, you'll see what I can do when I shoot that much. Well, he goes 8 of 18 and they get blown the doors off by Washington, and he's 0-for-4 from the 3-point line and just not a good game, you know? And so, I thought that was just a little – I like that, a little vindication for Durant. And Durant said – did y'all see what Durant said yesterday?
Yeah.
He said, I'm pretty sure LeBron James can do whatever he wants to do. I thought that was nice. That's
awesome.
Anyway.
Okay, next award, Coach of the Year.
I have Terry Stotts.
It's mine as well.
Portland's leading the Northwest Division. They're first in points per game, first in offensive rating. And Terry Stotts has really helped LaMarcus turn into the leader he's always needed to be. And I really like that they're embracing the technology on the sidelines, y'all. They got those iPads out, running, looking at replays instantly, trying to see how they get better. I just think he has brought something really special and energetic to Portland, and it's really showing.
I would say... I say Terry Stotts, and I still would say probably Jeff Hornacek as my 1B. Done an incredible job with a team that nobody thought had a chance. And they're still being competitive, even though Eric Bledsoe has gone down. Terry Stotts, just because at the end of the season, Portland will have a really good record, which will be a big deal. But I think also it's something we need to think about with how good of a job Jeff Hornacek has done.
Yeah, I've got Hornacek as my guy. I mean, he's getting stuff out of guys that we didn't really know if they could be players, like Miles Plumlee. You know, he was kind of a throw in that trade, and he's a starting center in this league. And he's, you know, the Morris twins have been really good. Gerald Green has been good. You know, a guy who really couldn't stick in the league, couldn't play for the Pacers last year, is starting for them. So I really like what Hornacek's done with a team that a lot of really smart NBA guys said would be the worst team in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, what are they today, 22 and 16. So I think, I mean, that's big time.
That is big. I was the same way. I was between Hornacek and Stotts, but I had to go with the guy with the better record and the overall better team. But it is really close. Those are definitely the two coaches that are going to be in the conversation.
Yep. Next award, most improved player.
I have your boy Lance Stephenson.
Lance.
13 points per game. Lance, dude, you surprised?
No, he, especially following last night, like he had, you know, what, 26 points. He's playing really well. I think anybody on the, like between him, I know it's hard because of the guy's already so good, but Paul George, I think, should be in that conversation as well as somebody that's improved. I'm trying to think of who else. Eric Bledsoe, if he was healthy, would be in that conversation just because when you go from limited minutes to starter minutes, I can't think of anybody else. Andrew, who do you think?
I've got two guys that I thought of with most improved, and one of them is DeMarcus Cousins. And, you know, his numbers may not look all that much different, but he is making a bigger impact on the court every night for the Sacramento Kings and is one of their leaders now. And he's you know, the Kings aren't a good team, but I've seen tremendous improvement from DeMarcus Cousins. And then the other guy that I have is DeAndre Jordan for the Clippers. He's a guy who can play the whole game now and is, I mean, he plays great defense. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw him play defense on Dirk Nowitzki the other night, but he was incredible. And he looks really good, and his rebounding numbers are up. His shot blocking is up. His defensive rating is one of the best in the league for an individual. I like the improvement that I've seen with DeAndre Jordan as well. And it's pretty, I mean, between those two, it's not as big a jump, but they're also guys that have been in the league for a while that are improving. And I like to see it go to a guy who's been in the league for a while rather than like an Eric Bledsoe who basically just gets a jump up in minutes and then shows the production that we all knew that he could do.
That's kind of why I like Lance too, because he didn't get this huge jump in minutes, you know, like he, and he's improved in every category. He's raised his field goal percentage, his assists, rebounds. He's averaging 5.2 assists and almost 7 rebounds a game. And he's becoming one of those guys like that can just do everything. He's a good defender. He has a plus 10 net rating. I just really like him. And he's starting to get buzz to like maybe make the All-Star game. I don't see why he would make the All-Star game, but he's getting.
If you sit down and look at the guards in the East, I think that you would pick him.
Really?
Yeah.
Like there's just so few right now?
Yeah, I mean, once you get down to it, it's going to be between him, DeMar DeRozan, Aaron Aflalo. And, you know, it's a lot easier to go with a guy who's on one of the best teams in the league than a DeMar DeRozan.
True. So, yeah, I think he's getting a lot of buzz and people are talking about him. And I think that's going to have – maybe he's not the most improved, but I think that that's going to have some effect on how it goes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Next award, sixth man of the year. Who's your sixth man?
My sixth man's got to be Jamal Crawford. There's just not – I was looking at the teams with winning records, and there's just not a lot of, like, legit sixth men on those teams, you know? Jamal Crawford's really the only one that you can say, okay, this guy's really consistent offensively. If our, you know, J.J. Redick gets hurt, we can throw him in the starting lineup. He's great in there. We coast. We don't mess up too much. He comes back. We put Jamal Crawford on the bench again, and he's exactly what he was, you know? Yeah. I just think it's a cliche pick, but I think it's the only one that really makes a lot of sense right now.
Yeah, there's really nobody.
No.
Like, that sticks out. And I think that it's going to – I think that Reggie Jackson is going to have a really good shot at winning the Sixth Man of the Year this year, just because whenever Russ does come back, his impact off the bench is immense, and he's able to just torch those second string point guards. And I think that I honestly believe that Reggie Jackson, if Russ can play, you know, within the next couple of weeks and play to the end of the season, I honestly believe that Reggie Jackson will win that.
I think you're right. And Reggie Jackson is a better player when he's coming off the bench. When Russ is playing, Reggie Jackson is so much better. Just because he doesn't have all this pressure, whatever, he can just kind of play in his own flow of the game. And I think you're right. And there's not a ton of competition. Lou Williams has been, of course, he's been injured and he's been really slow, but there's really not a lot. The sixth man doesn't go to a team that has a losing record and doesn't make the playoffs, you know. So it's got to be a winning team. And when it comes down to the winning teams, there's really not a lot of people. And so I think you're right. Reggie Jackson can have a chance to win this.
Yeah, I think that ultimately I believe that he will, as long as Russ can stay healthy. Our next award is the Defensive Player of the Year. Taylor, who you have as your Defensive Player of the Year?
I went with Roy Hibbert, but I was going between Roy Hibbert and DeAndre Jordan, which I hated doing. I found myself hating almost picking DeAndre Jordan just because I don't know. I have a thing against DeAndre Jordan. But Roy Hibbert, 2.6 blocks per game. His opponent field goal percentage at the rim is 41%, which is the best out of any of the guys that are in the conversation. DeAndre Jordan's field goal percentage at the rim, opponent field goal percentage at the rim is over 50%. And so that's what did it for me.
Yeah, I went with Roy Hibbert too. And I can't – it wasn't one of those things I really felt super – confident with. I think he's, you know, kind of the defensive centerpiece for the best defensive team in the league, and so he gets my vote.
Yeah, that's why I feel confident in picking him, because they are the number one defense. He's their anchor, and even though it doesn't always show up on the stat sheets like DeAndre Jordan does, he does really, really important things for that Indiana Pacers team. And undoubtedly, they wouldn't be the defensive team that they are without Roy Hibbert anchoring their team. So I think it is Roy Hibbert. The next award is the Executive of the Year.
I went with, surprise, surprise, Bob Myers for the Warriors. Got rid of, and this goes back to the summer too, they got rid of the Beadrins and Richard Jefferson contracts and signed Iggy. They signed a decent free agent bench mob in Spates and Jermaine O'Neal. Of course, Jermaine O'Neal's been hurt, but when he plays, he's been, like, so good for them. It's been weird how good he's been for them. And then Tony Douglas wasn't working out, so he went out and got Jordan Crawford and Marshawn Brooks. Jordan Crawford's going to come in, and they can use him as just a guy who, you know, give him the ball. He can just go to work and score points. He's not a great guy at running the team. He's shown that he can a little bit when he was starting for Boston, but I think overall it's a better pickup than Tony Douglas, and I think it was he's done a lot of things for this team to make it happen. Bob Myers, that is.
I'm going with a guy who won it last year, Masai Ujiri, but he's he's an executive for a different team now, the Toronto Raptors, just based on the fact that he got first round picks for Andrea Bargnani and for Rudy Gay and for the players that he got back for Rudy Gay. Trading those guys is not an easy thing. And to get actual value back for both of them, whose reputations were just tarnished in Toronto, and to get value back for both those guys is pretty tremendous trading going on there. So I'm going to give it to Masai, who's also, you know, the Toronto Raptors are a playoff team. And you know, maybe that's not exactly what he wanted, but this is the second time that they have traded their quote-unquote superstars and gotten much, much better just because of the pieces he was able to get back. I think he's an outstanding GM, one of the best traders in the NBA. So I would give it to Masai again.
I think I'd agree with – I mean, there's great points, I think, for both of those guys. And the fact that Toronto, for the first time, you know, gosh, 5 or 6 years, actually has a direction that they're going. And I think bids well for him. And he's made smart moves. You're right. Like getting people to get rid of two crappy contracts. You know, and Rudy Gay's played better since he became a King. And so maybe there was something, you know, more than just, hey, Rudy Gay is falling apart. But it would be hard for me not to say him as the winner in my book.
Yeah, Masai Ujiri, I'm convinced he's, like, threatening people's lives with how he's getting these trades to go through.
You would take this contract!
What? You just actually scared
me. I don't think he's Indian. I don't know what.
You just actually scared me. You're not even in the room with me, and you scared me. But he, yeah, I don't know why you keep making trades with Masai Ujiri either. Because you always get the bad end of the trade. You always get the bad end of the trade, and you have no idea that it's going to happen. And it always
happens. He's got like a Jedi mind trick or something.
Yes, he's.
And that's what I'm surprised at. Like, how does Presti not pull it off? If they could get rid of Andres Bargnani, why in the world couldn't we get rid of Perkins right now?
I don't know. Or Tabo. Let's trade Perkins Presti for Masai Ujiri.
No, I'm good. I like Presti.
Oh, okay.
Presti has outdrafted Ujiri.
That's true.
That's all I got. That's the end of my little information piece.
So Jay has Presti as executive of the year.
No, I don't think I would. I think if he made a move right now that, like, if he pulled off the Kevin Love trade, you know, the Thunder go on to win the one seed. I think he had a shot for it. That guy from Golden State, that's an awfully good, and that goes all the way back to the Iggy move.
Exactly.
You know, like, that's a great addition as well, and there's some good GMs out there right now, and you know, I don't think it, between the two of them you could flip a coin and I'd be all right with it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move into our say what stat of the week.
Say what? J-Hove, you got it.
All right. Well, you know, it's hard because I really wanted to use the last night's Houston Rockets game. You know, Houston scores 53 in the first quarter, or 73 in the first half, and then scores 19 in the second half, which is the largest point differential in the history of the NBA from half to half.
Yeah.
Which is insane. There was somebody else. Well, give me just a second. Let me find it real quick that I thought had a great stat line. Taylor, do you have one?
Mine was going to be the Houston thing from last night.
Well, so let me give you two of them I have right here. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Mark Stein posted this out last night, and I thought this was an incredible testament to who the Thunder are for the last 3 years or 4 years. OKC Thunder, according to Elias, if they had lost last night, will have their first losing record over a 10-game span since December of 2009.
That's insane.
And then...
That's insane.
Is that crazy?
That's
and
crazy.
They didn't. You know, like, they ended up winning that game, and so they were at 500 over 10 games. So they still have not gone under 500 for 10 games in 4 years, or in 3 years, I guess, which was incredible. And then the other thing, this is from Adam Huskerson, who just a good local basketball mind and a doctor. But he said LeBron has over 30 games in his career with 30-plus shots. Kevin Durant has 7. I thought that was kind of cool stat.
Wait, is the 7 including this year?
Yeah, I think so.
Whoa, that's crazy.
I don't know, man. I don't really, like, check out the stats. I just repeat them off Twitter.
I can just give you stats, and you'll just say them on stat of the week. Like,
so next week, if you want me to just say your stat of the week, just make it up and send it to us. And I'll just think it's true, and I'll send it out there.
Andrew, do you have some? Okay.
Andrew might have died. Let's do our pour one out. Do you have a pour one out?
No.
You ready for mine? You're going to enjoy this. You and Andrew both are going to enjoy this.
What?
My pour one out of the week is for my boy and your boy. You know him. You love him. Swaggy P, Nick Young. I don't know if you guys watched the Phoenix LA game, but what? Nick Young gets a hard foul from Lynn and bows up on Lynn, like shoves him, it's brawl time. And not one single Laker came over, and all five of the Suns are just shoving Swaggy P around.
And he got mad about it.
Terribly bad for Nick Young, because you want your team to be there, man.
Yeah.
Come on. You want to tell me one thing that's wrong with that team is that they don't – God, I mean, I'd have fist fought somebody. I'd have got my butt whipped. I don't really give a crap by the Morris twins, but I at least would have been in the middle of them. You know, like, that's my way of – you know, you need an enforcer on your team. You need somebody that's going to get in somebody's face and kind of tell them what is and isn't, you know, going to happen against their players. And I just felt like Nick Young, a.k.a. Swaggy P, got left on an island. And that's unfair and uncouth.
Poor Swaggy P.
I know, right? Poor Swaggy P. Things you'll never hear me say ever again.
We're doing pour one outs, man. Me and Jay already did one. What's yours?
Oh, I've got a
pour. You didn't do one, you liar.
Oh, dang it.
Pelicans, man.
Pelicans.
I don't know that we've poured one out for Drew Holiday yet. Did we?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's bad. I mean, they lose Ryan Anderson and then Drew Holiday. And now they have to play Austin Rivers, who I don't know if you guys saw what James Harden did to Austin Rivers two nights ago. And the Rockets were down, I think they were down two or down one, and Rivers was guarding
put him on skates.
Harden, and he just put him on skates big time. So,
oh gosh,
it's a bad situation there in New Orleans. And it looked like they had that game wrapped up against Houston. I mean, they were up significantly with the 5 minutes left. But they have a lot of guys they can't really rely on. And they don't have their first-round pick. They gave it to Philly in that deal for Drew Holiday. So
Philly's going to have two picks in the top 15.
Yes. I mean, that's...
good job, Philly.
Yeah, that was a really, really good trade. And it was just kind of a... They kind of had a bet going almost of, you know, we don't think that you guys will make the playoffs. And, you know, the Pelicans were confident that they would. And, you know, the Sixers won that bet.
And they also, you know, hit a home run with Michael Carter Williams. Like, nobody thought he was going to be as good as he is. And,
no.
You know, I will say one more thing that it's a...
Oh, my gosh. That's one thing we didn't do. We didn't do the Rookie of the Year.
Oh, Rookie of the Year. Well, I have it if you want to do it.
We have to do it real quick.
Okay. My Rookie of the Year is Vicky Oladipo. I just think he's been really good. He had a game. He had a 35-point game the other night. He's starting now for the Magic. He is averaging 4.2 rebounds and 3.6 assists, 1.5 steals. He's just been pretty good. His field goal percentages have been kind of bad, but he's playing 31 minutes a night. Right, he's a rookie. You're not going to have a rookie who's outstanding.
I think it's ironic that we forgot about it, since this is one of the least... the most underwhelming rookie classes I can remember, because there's not anybody that's doing really, really great, you know. And like last year, Damian Lillard was like, okay, well, he's the Rookie of the Year. And this year, it's like, well, Oladipo's doing okay, and it's probably because they're all playing on crappy teams,
too. That's the thing. Damian Lillard was on a pretty decent team last year, you know.
But he also made them better, you know.
Yes, anyway, he did.
But I would probably say Victor Oladipo. Mike Carter Williams, I think, still doing really well.
Trey Burke's in the discussion.
Yeah, and then you have some, you know, McRoberts. You have some guys that have played really well, but I'd probably go with those top two.
Who was the last guy you said?
McRoberts.
Not McRoberts. Who am I thinking of? Is that guy for the Suns not a rookie?
Goran Dragic.
No, yeah, Goran Dragic. No, he played for Duke. I can't remember. Doesn't matter. He's not in the discussion.
Miles Plumlee.
There we go.
No, he's a sophomore.
Okay.
Oh, you're thinking he was Josh McRoberts.
I don't know. They're all these big, tall, goofy white guys that played
at Duke.
I got them mixed up in college, too. So who's yours, Andrew?
I think it's Michael Carter Williams. I think that he has been kind of the rookie story of the year and probably will continue to be. And I think that people are... You know, he's one of the highest selling jerseys in the NBA.
Whoa.
So I think that Carter Williams is going to win the Rookie of the Year. And also just because it was pretty surprising that he came out and played the way that he did. You know, a lot of people expected Oladipo to play pretty well. But Carter Williams is a starting point guard in this league. You know, at least he's shown that so far. So I'd give it to him.
Also, he has the best nickname, Michael Carter Holy Grail, which is it's easily the best rookie nickname.
What about Stone Cold Steve Adams?
Steve Adams is sick. Good.
That's such a great
Stone
name.
Cold Steve Adams.
Shout out to Anthony Slater for bringing that one up. Hey, let me say, because I got to go here, but one more person I feel like is a tongue-in-cheek pour one out is James Harden. I feel like it's painful to watch him play a poor game against the Thunder. Oh, and that first half, man, he was looking at the bench and he was sticking his tongue out and acting all arrogant and like a, you know, I just am getting to the point where I can't stand the guy. But, and then the second half, he scores 0 points and looks out of sorts. The whole team looked out of sorts, but James Harden, as the leader of that team, really looked out of sorts. And so tongue in cheek, pour one out for him, because any loss is probably a little bit painful, but a loss against the team like that, where a guy like Reggie Jackson, who kind of is your replacement, has a great game and accentuates that great game with a windmill dunk and then just walks over the ball like a baller.
Yeah.
Was kind of a nice feeling for most Thunder fans.
Yeah. And just to kind of piggyback on that, there's nothing about the Houston Rockets that scares me in the playoffs.
No, not at all.
The only thing that scares me is a very squirrely Patrick Beverley. That's about the only thing that scares me about this Rockets team.
Yeah, he'll probably try to injure Kevin Durant.
So
people might actually try to kill him if he did that, by the way.
There are people. I mean, there are crazy people.
There are crazy people. All right, guys. Anything else we need to talk about before we end this one?
Yeah.
No. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us on the Down to Dunk podcast. We appreciate you listening. Remember, spread the word, share us with your friends, talk with us on Twitter, follow us at DTD Podcast. Look for us in iTunes, search Down to Dunk. You can also go to our website and find our podcast there, downtodunk.com. We have a bunch of mid-season previews for you coming out here in the next couple of days. We'll have a bunch of our favorite local writers, Andrew Gilman from Fox Sports. We have Carson Cunningham, KOCO, and a bunch of other guys that we'll be connecting with over the next few days over the Martin Luther King weekend to chat about some Thunder basketball and kind of give them some of the questions we just posed. And so tune in, check us out, subscribe to us, rate us, review us. We appreciate the love, and we'll see you next time.